always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Wallace. President Biden is considering giving preemptive pardons to critics of President-elect Donald Trump.
Members of both parties would be shielded from possible retribution or legal prosecution by the incoming administration. Multiple people familiar with the ongoing discussions tell CBS News the president's debated with senior White House aides the possibility of issuing preemptive pardons, but no specific names have been formally recommended to him.
CBS News senior White House and political correspondent Ed O'Keefe. Nerves were frayed in Northern California when an offshore magnitude 7 earthquake triggers a tsunami warning. CBS News Bay Area reporter Kelsey Thord has more.
Frightening moments for thousands of people in Pacifica as they race to higher ground fleeing the tsunami zone.
I grabbed the dog. I grabbed my passport. That's about all I could get my hands on. And then got out, and as I was driving out, the police and fire trucks were blaring down the street with their sirens.
The tsunami warning was later canceled. There were no reports of major damage or injuries from the earthquake. Police have released photos of a person of interest in the fatal shooting of United Healthcare CEO in Manhattan. CBS's Meg Oliver spoke to former NYPD Deputy Commissioner Richard Esposito.
CBS News has confirmed the words delay, deny, and possibly depose were written using a Sharpie on shell casings recovered from the scene.
Those are the words that sum up what people are concerned about with insurance companies. Delays, denials, defending themselves, pushing off complaints. So it certainly points to a motive.
A possible motive for Wednesday's shooting at a religious school in Northern California is coming to light. Butte County Sheriff Corey Honey.
He held some kind of belief that the Seventh-day Adventist Church was involved in genocide and oppression of Palestinians and supportive of USA attacks on Yemen.
The gunman took his own life. The two young boys he shot are now in stable condition. An annual beekeeping survey finds more colonies have been lost. Auburn University professor Jeff Williams authors the survey.
The losses seem to be hovering at really high rates, and they've been doing so for several years. So, I mean, that's really putting a strain on the beekeepers that are managing those colonies.
So commercial beekeeping pollinates crops like almonds and blueberries. Fewer bees could mean fewer goods and higher prices. Iran says it has successfully launched a satellite-carrying rocket into space after a series of failed launches. Iran's claim has not been independently verified. Western leaders fear Iran's space program will improve its ballistic missile program. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
On the next Midday Magazine, we wrap up the week with Wisconsin State Representative Scott Krug in part one, and in part two, our friend Phil Brown from the Southfield County Historical Museum. 4 to 5 on WFHR.
The Packers lose to the Lions. Hi from Ford Field in Detroit. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Lions kicking a last-second field goal to win 34-31. It was a back-and-forth game all night. Detroit jumping out to a 17-7 lead. But in the second half, Keyshawn Nixon intercepted a Jared Goff pass, and the Packers' offense scored to take the lead. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Thought our guys did a good job coming out the second half, kind of getting the momentum by going down, scoring a touchdown, hitting the big play to Christian, then defensively getting the takeaway and converting that into points. And but ultimately, I thought we just started, especially on the offensive side of the ball, too slow.
So the Packers are now 9-4, but running back Josh Jacobs, who scored 3 touchdowns, thinks they could face the Lions here in the postseason.
Yeah, we're going to see them again. We're going to see them again. That's the beauty of it all, you know, take these feelings, process them, and go back to work.
NBA, the Bucks are in Boston tonight to play the Celtics. College Hoops, Marquette hosts Wisconsin tomorrow at 12:30. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie have a new show that they say will be as unforgettable as the first show they did together called, who cares? The duo is collaborating again for Peacock's new show, Paris and Nicole, The Encore. The short 3-episode series drops December 12th on Peacock. Following in the footsteps of Ross and Rachel, Barry Keoghan and Sabrina Carpenter are on a break after dating for a year due to rumors of infidelity on the part of Keoghan, who apparently has been hooking up with a TikToker, probably someone who got famous lip-syncing Carpenter songs. The influencer's name is Becky Hill, and she has 4 million followers on OnlyFans, which is somehow 5 million more than I have. People assume infidelity is the reason they split, but maybe Carpenter finally saw Saltburn and hasn't stopped vomiting. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. In the overnight, partly cloudy skies, lows in the middle single digits. We'll have a light west wind. That breeze will pick up a bit on Friday. West to northwest winds up around 20 miles per hour. A mix of clouds and sunshine, highs in the low to mid 20s. Currently 8 degrees.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media sports guru Mike Clemens, Lisa O'Hearn from the Sister Bay Historical Society, and it's a bar band Friday night. So Terry Barr joins the show with great music.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from Radio Park here in Racine. Give us a call, send in a text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. And a reminder as well, we have a new version of the Civic Media app. If you haven't downloaded it yet or you haven't refreshed it lately, go download the Civic Media app wherever you get your apps. It's absolutely free and...
Absolutely.
Absolutely free. Next week... A chance for wonderful and fabulous prizes that could but probably won't change the course of your entire life in a text to win contest.
For the rest of you, not me.
Or us. But it's going to be great. We've done this a couple times. It's really a lot of fun. It's usually 4 times a day you have a chance to win wonderful things. And all of the details will be coming your way next week. So if you haven't yet... Please download the Civic Media app. It is absolutely free. You can call and text in directly whatever show you're listening to right from the app. You can subscribe to newsletters, all kinds of wonderful things, and check out our website as well at civicmedia.us. Coming up in a little bit, Brittany Merlot, Civic Media meteorologist, will be joining us for our regular segment, Weather and Wine. Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe at 11:33. And then This Shouldn't Be a Thing around 11:51. We'll wrap up the show. Today it's the olfactory edition. Stay tuned for that. I wanted to start off with this, and I know you and Pat Kreitler talked about it on Up North News Radio.
Yeah.
Earlier in the week, this is distressing, certainly for not just the people who lost their jobs, but unfortunately all the residents in this part of Wisconsin. Allen Media owns 4 TV stations in Wisconsin and had significant layoffs this week. They let 8 people go from WXOW in La Crosse with just 6 staff members remaining. News director Sean Dwyer and longtime anchor, who I believe was there for 30 years, Dave Soley, also among the cuts. That's heartbreaking.
And you know more than I and many people in this building the way this business runs. I mean, I know TV is different from the radio, but there's similar methods that are employed sometimes.
And similar pains.
Yes.
And similar pains. We were just talking with Emily Zephos about how the media landscape has changed and how people are getting their news differently. But having local news reporters in small communities is crucially important so that you know what's actually going on at school boards and county boards and all of those things. And if you don't have reporters who are sitting in those long, tedious, boring meetings, they can pull all kinds of stuff.
And one of the things we talk about a lot on this show, and we talk about a lot in Civic Media as an entire network, is the importance of keeping up with your local races, your county supervisors, your aldermen, your mayors, all those things. But it's also just as important to be in touch with your local news. And that's why like subscribing to these, you know, local papers are important, and watching these local news reports are important, because they are the direct pipeline
yes.
to you finding out the information. Now, I don't believe these news stations are closing down.
No, they're not.
But there is something to be said about a trust between an anchor and the community, you know, from your local person all the way up to Walter Cronkite.
Yes.
They help inform you. They help inform your decisions. And when they go away, you might say, oh, I'll watch something else then, or I'll find it from something else, or look at Facebook at someone's cousin's dog walker.
Right. Which is not necessarily reliable information. The weekend newscast will no longer be locally produced. Limited weekend lacrosse news will be produced and sent to WKOW in Madison for a statewide weekend show. They're only going to do 2 minutes of local sports a day, which is really important for smaller communities.
2 minutes?
2 minutes of local sports each weekday. In October, the same company, Allen Media, laid off at least 4 on-air journalists at its flagship station, WKOW, including an anchor, a senior reporter, sports reporter, and meteorologist. Since then, another sports staffer and another meteorologist have left the station. Also reports that WAOW in La Crosse and WQOW in Eau Claire also had layoffs. Now, again, I've been in this business a long time, longer than I care to admit. But normally,
yeah.
Certainly for someone who's been an anchor for 30 years at the same radio station, you get to say goodbye.
Yeah.
They might make you pre-record it because, yes, there's always the, oh, what if he goes off and he loses his mind and he becomes Albert Finney and network and just, you know, which rarely happens.
Yeah.
But they allow you at least to say goodbye to people you've been had a relationship with for 25, 30 years. And they didn't allow those people to do that. That's really low.
Well,
that's really low.
I feel like, you know, they've invested all this time and energy in you, and you treat the listeners and the watchers with respect. You should be treated with the same amount of respect when you're there for 30 years. I mean, and if anything, too, I don't know. This is a PR thing, but like if you tell me I have to fire the person who's been anchoring the news for 25, 30, 35 years, I would at least say, can we make it seem like a retirement or something? I mean, I know that's a little shammy, but let's let this person have a little bit of dignity walking out the building.
Well, some kind of, I mean, again, a 30-year career, how about a little retrospective? How about a little, you know, look at all the things that Frank Schmo did, all you know, over all these decades and all the things that he brought to the community. And I just think that it's really a shame. Granted, broadcasting has been a brutal industry. It's always been this way.
Yes.
It's always been heartless. It's always been cruel. Mm-hmm. But I think that is really classless.
Yeah. Yeah,
And I feel for those people who were let go. I mean, 8 people from one station.
At once. Like,
it's so, and the people who remain, they're left to pick up the pieces. And I have no way of knowing this is accurate. I am guessing one of the reasons they fired the guy who had been there for 30 years is it because it took him 30 years to make a decent living.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
and now you can hire someone who's half his age for half the salary.
And they're going to say things like, oh, well, they're more attractive to look at, or blah, 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 blah. And it's all part of their own algorithm to fill in the spot and do their thing. And I don't know. I just find it. Also, the firing of journalists. And we're seeing this in newspapers as well. We're seeing and now that we're seeing major newspapers, and this is a little off, but it does relate. I guess the owner of the LA Times now, he wants to see the headlines.
He wants pre-approval on all the headlines.
So like it is a tough business to work in, and you could be coming into with the biggest heart and wanting to shine a light on the world. And if they want to get rid of you, they're going to get rid of you.
Just gets harder and harder.
Yep.
Our friend Greg from Waukesha is on the line. Good morning, Greg. How you doing? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, I'm doing great, you guys. Long time no talk to you, but But yeah, this is why you guys are so important, Jane and Greg, you know, and the whole civic media staff. I mean, you guys have studios in different places, you know. I'm thankful that there's a station called The Shaw, you know, 101.1, that broadcasts, you know, specifically to Waukesha and 5:40 a.m., which broadcasts to Milwaukee and Racine. And really quickly, you guys, I just wanted to talk about a guy who kept a local a news anchor. And, you know, I never knew him besides for the on-air. But Jerry Taff was one of my favorite news anchors on Channel 12. And, you know, he had that classic line, good night and better tomorrow, you know. And But he always kept it local. I mean, and he'd be around the community and so many of these people. And that's why civic media is so important. That's why businesses, you need to sponsor civic media, because it's so important to have local coverage. I listened to This Week in Waukesha with Don Brown.
Saturday mornings.
I want to know Saturday mornings, because I want to know what's happening in Waukesha. I listen to you guys because you guys cover local stuff a lot of the time. And it's so good to just have local personalities. And I just real quick, I know as a journalist, you know, locally, I was unfortunately my column was cut from a local newspaper, but I was the victim of budget cuts too, so they can be very brutal, you know?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. Thank you so much, Greg.
It's always good to hear from you, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely, and sharing your memories. And thank you for all the compliments about civic media. That is absolutely our owner, Sage Wiles, goal is to be local community radio.
And pro-democracy.
Pro-democracy, yeah. Pro-community. Yeah. And it would be great if other people would want to model this in other states to try and protect at least some locally sourced programming.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing too, is you also have to really do the research on who owns the stations you watch, because we're seeing more and more companies come out with their personal agendas within the narrative, the commentary, the news they choose to report.
Yeah.
So, you know,
it makes a difference.
The good news is out there. The facts are out there, and luckily I like to think we are part of that fight.
Well, if you can spread the word about civic media,
please do so.
We would really appreciate it.
Yeah. In my opinion, we're pretty great.
We say modestly. Brittany of Merlot, we're going to talk a little weather and wine. She is civic media's meteorologist. Going to find out how cold it's going to be for how long.
She has to answer for cold right now.
Is it her fault?
Oh, she's so excited about it.
We're going to blame her?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to blame Brittany Merlot next in Weather and Wine. So stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media, statewide, countrywide, potentially global, Civic Media Radio Network. What else to do about it?
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy. We're talking about the Act 10 overturned by a Dane County judge.
I think it's important for everyone to know that this was the state that in 1959 first granted public employees the right to organize and bargain collectively. We have a lot to take back. You know, I used to say take back America, but I say take back Wisconsin.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Pat Kreitlow, all your time in the media, television, radio, what have you, what was one or two of the oddest things that people were complaining about?
As a TV anchor, your hair.
You have some of the finest hair around. How could anybody criticize your hair?
Oh, well, because a consultant forced me to change it.
Were there focus groups?
I'm not aware of any focus groups other than the audience, which universally hated it. It was a bowl haircut.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. She joins us once a week. We've had requests for a little more of you, a little more weather and wine. Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here. Good morning, Brittany. How are you?
Good morning. I am fantastic. And more wine is always good.
More wine is always, absolutely, it's always good. Someone on the live stream said that we are blaming you for this cold snap. So it's your fault.
Okay, that's fine. You're right. I will take all of the blame because, you know, it was my birthday this week and I wanted the snow. And the only way that I could get it was from Lake Effect. And that was, we needed the cold air. So yeah, I'll take the blame. Sorry, Wisconsin.
Wait, my birthday is next week. I want 50-degree weather again.
Can I give that to you on the weekend?
Yes, I'll take it.
Well, what do we got coming up? Today the coldest day, or do we have to go through all of tomorrow, too?
Today is definitely the coldest day. Tomorrow will get still be chilly, but not nearly as bad. The winds will ease up. Temperatures warming by about 5 to 10 degrees or so. But the real warm-up is definitely hitting on Saturday and into Sunday. Oh, we're looking at mid-40s for the southern parts of the state on Saturday and low 50s possibly on Sunday.
Oh, my God.
Seriously. Is it going to be raining or is it going to be, can people actually get outside?
You're actually going to be able to get outside and enjoy it. All of the rain holds off until Sunday night, and then things become a mess, of course. Start the week off, you know.
So enjoy Saturday and Sunday, and then life is going to suck.
Absolutely. And that's kind of a repeat next week, too. So get on this new schedule we have.
So if you have Christmas lights you have not put out yet, this weekend is probably the weekend to do it.
That is a good idea. Yes, because I haven't done it yet.
I haven't done it yet either.
Yeah, I got to get some lights. Just simple light bulbs. Not like, I'm not getting this string.
Not doing strings of lights. You're just going to do the colored
light bulbs, yeah. Yeah.
And can I... Just as a criticism while we're talking about Christmas decorations. When I was coming in the other morning, I passed a house, and it's a two-story house, And the owner took the time to go up all two stories.
Oh, yeah.
And do the eaves. And then this brought the string all the way down to the ground to a little fir tree.
Oh.
It's just, it's like, you took all the time to climb up there. And then what you just, it's like, I'll just throw it down to the fir tree and I'm done.
Good enough.
Maybe if you have time this weekend, I don't know, get another ladder and fix the lights. But that's just my aesthetic.
Please send all angry letters to Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, yes. P.O. Box 26, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin.
And please send all Christmas light pictures to me. I want to see them.
Absolutely. We can post them. I'd love to see them. I'd love to see them. So what is coming next week then? After we have a spring revival Saturday and Sunday, then what? It's going to be tsunamis or what are we dealing with?
Back to normal temperatures, you know, 20s, 30s, that kind of thing, below freezing still. So nothing too crazy. Some dry conditions up until about the 16th or 17th. So middle of the month, we are looking at, of course, another system headed our way. That one looks bigger.
Oh.
And where it goes and what it does. Obviously, I'm thinking more rain south, more snow north, but it's a little ways out. And we've got another one right before Christmas, too. I think it's the 22nd it wants to target. Now, of course, time frames always shift, and so do these systems, but just a heads up, we've got two more.
Is this wibble-wobble uncertainty, inconsistency having to do with La Nina?
No, it has more to do with the Arctic Oscillation, which is the cold polar air sinking into Wisconsin. So we kind of dabble with that one a little bit more than the La Nina, which is a larger scale. But both are at play. It's just whether or not the Arctic air stays up or it sinks down and gets us.
Gotcha.
And what kind of snow did they get up north the last over the past week?
This I love. So over the holiday, over Thanksgiving, they got about 27 inches of snowfall into Hurley, Wisconsin and Ironwood, Michigan area. And then just yesterday, they picked up another 10 inches of snow. So they're at about 3 feet.
I have a question, and please forgive me if this sounds totally dumb. But last year, of course, we know that businesses dealt with the lack of snowfall to the point where there had to be actual like money available to help. How much of this snow that's falling is going to inform what they'll be able to use for the coming months, or will this melt away and it's not going to be useful?
So what I'm thinking and what it looks like right now is this is pretty useful. They have partial trail openings. People are already taking the sleds out on some of the trails, but in some of the areas that didn't get so much, like more towards, you know, like Ashland or in towards Bayfield area, they haven't had enough just yet. So trails are still pretty much closed there. So they need more. And that storm, like I said, if it turns to all rain next week for all of us, that's gonna
wipe it out. Yeah.
Okay. Well, so it really depends on the next two systems.
Well, hopefully they can keep it. They just got crushed so badly last year. They really did. Yeah. It would be nice to see them have a nice snow base and just build on that base for a couple of months and get the Iditarod off the way it's meant to be and all of those things. Yeah. We will check in with you next week for a little more weather and wine. Brittany Merlot, Civic Media meteorologist.
Happy belated birthday.
Happy belated birthday, Brittany.
Thank you.
Stick around. News is coming up next when we return. Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe will be here. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Tome for the Todd Allball Show.
CBS News Brief. President Biden is considering preemptive pardons for President-elect Donald Trump's critics, like California Senator-elect Adam Schiff.
In a recent interview, Schiff suggested that such preemptive pardons are a bad idea and unnecessary, that ultimately federal courts would block any attempts by the president-elect to prosecute any of his perceived rivals.
CBS's Ed O'Keefe. A magnitude 7 earthquake rocked Northern California. Caltech seismologist Lucy Jones.
It's a very complicated place tectonically. Historically, it's the site in California that's had the most magnitude 7s in our history. They happen up here every 20, 30 years.
The NYPD has released photos of a person wanted for questioning in the shooting death of UnitedHealthcare CEO. CBS's Anna Schechter.
He went around back behind an alley and picked up a bicycle, rode north into Central Park, and that actually created some problems because there aren't as many cameras in Central Park.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Packers lose to the Lions. Hi from Ford Field in Detroit. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Lions kicking a last-second field goal to win 34-31. It was a back-and-forth game all night. Detroit jumping out to a 17-7 lead. But in the second half, Keyshawn Nixon intercepted a Jared Goff pass, and the Packers offense scored to take the lead. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Thought our guys did a good job coming out the second half, kind of getting the momentum by going down, scoring a touchdown, hitting the big play to Christian, then defensively getting the takeaway and converting that into points. But ultimately, I thought we just started, especially on the offensive side of the ball, too slow.
So the Packers are now 9-4, but running back Josh Jacobs, who scored 3 touchdowns, thinks they could face the Lions here in the postseason.
Yeah, we're going to see them again. That's the beauty of it all, you know, take these feelings, process them, and go back to work.
NBA, the Bucks are in Boston tonight to play the Celtics. College hoops, Marquette hosts Wisconsin tomorrow at 12:30. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. In Nothing to See Here news, superstar Taylor Swift was named the number one most streamed artist on Spotify for 2024, according to Variety. That makes 2 years in a row for the pop icon. Swift songs pulled almost 27 billion streams. She was off to a good start when her album Tortured Poets Society racked up 300 million streams in 1 day and a billion in the first week. When playing a legendary character as the lead in a movie, it is probably a huge vote of confidence to get the person who you are portraying's endorsement. Timothée Chalamet plays Bob Dylan in A Complete Unknown. Dylan recently took to social media to say that he is sure that Chalamet will be completely believable in the role. If Dylan had actually said those words, it would have sounded like Chalamet. Chalamet is already getting Oscar buzz for his portrayal as Dylan. A Complete Unknown opens Christmas Day. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. In the overnight, partly cloudy skies, lows in the middle single digits. We'll have a light west wind. That breeze will pick up a bit on Friday. West to northwest winds up around 20 miles per hour. A mix of clouds and sunshine, highs in the low to mid-20s. Currently 8 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Jeffrey from Madison.
I worked for the city of Madison for 34 years. Act 10 cost me $42,000.
Yep.
In 1977, the state of Wisconsin passed a law that says public employees cannot strike. With Act 10, now we can't bargain for working conditions and benefits, so they basically turned public employees into second-class citizens.
Yes.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Aaron Sommers, so you watched a film called Hot Frosty.
The main character puts a scarf that she does not know is enchanted around this snowman, and he comes to life, and he starts streaking through the town.
Is there any sex in this movie, Aaron?
There is not.
I think they're missing a perfect thing to go with a fetish snowman thing here.
Gotta bet that audience is huge. What's your kink? Snowman.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll be live at WRCE in Richland Center. An entire hour of the Ewing brothers, Brady and Brandon, sports, life, outdoors, and more, and Peter Rapine. Join us then.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
That simple fact is plainly obvious to see. We're going to kick your...
Good morning. Welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Mock, and Dr. Slide coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You know, join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up around 11:51, we'll wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it's the Olfactory Edition. Stick around for that. Right now, though, he joins us every other Thursday to talk all things sports. The Journal Sentinel sports guru, J.R. Radcliffe, is here. Good morning, J.R.
Good morning to you. Radio Park in Racine, I'm way late to this party because you've been there a while, I'm guessing. When did you guys move from Waukesha?
We moved...
October the 16th.
October the 16th.
Wow.
According to Greg Buck. Yes.
I think I might be wrong, actually.
I have no idea. Yeah, it's a great building. It's been here forever. It was built in the 40s. It is actually... It was built as a radio station, as opposed to when we were in Waukesha. We were in what used to be a dentist's office.
Yes, I remember.
And you could tell when the fire trucks would go right past us because it was so well insulated. So that's one of the reasons that we moved down here to this building that Civic owns. So, yeah. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. St. Nick comes tomorrow.
Ooh.
Do your children get a visit from St. Nick?
I mean... I wish my daughter would stop talking to her friends about the various
wow.
holiday traditions that they have, because it's like, oh, Saint Nick is coming. Is Saint Nick coming to our house? Well, no, Saint Nick doesn't really. You know, see, the thing is, we do this thing every year at the start of the brewer season where Bernie Brewer comes to visit our house. This is a tradition we borrowed from a friend. Obviously, it's not a thing. It's just this thing that we do for our kids. So there's always new Brewers gear on opening day, which is kind of cool, right?
That's cool. Like,
hoping that would maybe offset the need for a second Christmas or whatever this thing is with St. Nick. I did not grow up with it. I was aware of it, but it didn't bother me that, like, it didn't happen for me. I should have probably interrogated that more. I don't know, but
I have a fix. You just said, is there a specific day that Bernie shows up to the house?
No, I mean, it's opening day, whatever that happens to be. So
you just tell your kid, be like, hey, St. Nick's doesn't come on the 6th. St. Bernard comes on opening day. That's what we worship in the house of baseball.
That works. And it's not, trust me, JR, because we had St. Nick when I was growing up. I think we got a pair of socks. You know, it was not something like small. You got a bicycle or something fabulous. No, right. I'm sure that's probably changed, but
yeah, because they didn't have anything cool until
had wheels when I was growing up. We had hoop and stick. There were bikes.
Yeah, Saint Bernard. I like that, possibly in the shape of a Saint Bernard dog.
Mm-hmm.
The patron saint. My daughter loves dogs, so maybe we can work something out.
Watch out there. She's going to ask for a dog.
Every day of my life, Greg Bach. Every day of my life. There are four people in my house. Three of them, including me, not so much a dog thing. I like dogs. I have no problem with them as long as I don't have to take care of them.
Yeah.
My daughter wants to take care of them in her head anyway, wants to take care of them.
They all do.
It's a whole different thing when it's actually in practice and you have to get up and let them out at 3 o'clock in the morning so they can go chase bunnies or whatever it is that they're smelling.
I know this. You know this. Yes. My daughter cannot be convinced that that is an inconvenience in her life.
Yeah.
So,
because she's never had to bag the dead carcass of a backyard animal.
Right?
All the joys of pet ownership. All right. Well, she can have one when she's on her own. Just tell her when you're on your own, you have your own place. You can do what you want.
You guys are invited to Christmas. You guys can come over and talk to her about this.
Heck
happy
yeah.
to.
I'll bring my period. Dog. I'll bring my dog.
That's fine as long as he goes home.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all I ask. Yeah.
All right.
I like dogs, just not one. I just don't want one.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about kids.
At least you recognize that, JR, because I think a lot of people don't take into consideration very seriously how expensive it can be and exactly how constricting it can be on your life. Because it can.
Yep.
So, you know, a cat's different. They can spend a couple days on their own. A dog is a small child.
Also, who
with
cares?
Fur. So, all right. Let's talk sports balls. Let's talk Packers. Packers tonight in Detroit taking on the Lions. Lions are the best right now?
They are. They're 11-1. Best team in the NFC. And arguably, I mean, the Chiefs are undefeated and kind of famously just skating by. Not undefeated. They have one loss as well. And they're kind of just skating by where they win all these really close games and in crazy circumstances. I think the Lions are regarded right now as the best team in the NFL. So that makes this a really nice litmus test for the Packers. It's it's not, it also helps the Packers get closer to winning the division, which is key for the playoffs. They have to win the division to host a game in the postseason. There's still a long way to go. Like, even if they win tonight against Detroit, which is highly plausible, Green Bay's playing very well. If they win that game, there's the Lions with the tiebreakers really still need to lose twice more in the last four games of the season. And the Packers would have to win out to kind of leapfrog the Lions, and the Vikings are still in there too. So it's still a long shot that the Packers win the division. But it would just be nice to know that they are at that level, because the Lions have had some injuries. They're vulnerable a little bit. This game is on the road, so it's not, you know, it's not the best environment. Well, actually, I would say it's probably a pretty good environment rather than playing in the freezing cold out there.
That's what I was thinking too. Yeah.
Every offense likes, likes turf, likes controlled environment circumstances like that. And the Packers offense is kind of hitting its stride. So I'm really eager to see how they do, win or lose. I think this game is fine. It's not going to dramatically alter Green Bay's playoff projection. They're still in very, very good shape. So it's nice to kind of have that, you know, house money to some degree going into this game.
We did have a question for you on the live stream from Greg. He says, I have a sneaking suspicion that Jordan Love is going to go down tonight. If Malik Willis has to play, how much advantage does that give the Packers over the Lions?
I mean, I wouldn't say it gives them an advantage at all. Like, Jordan Love is still unquestionably their better, you know, the better option. I hope he doesn't go down. That would be a disaster.
It would be a disaster.
He obviously has been battling some injuries this season. And I think what they seem to have a really good thing going with Malik Willis as their backup, but it's a completely different offense. You know, when he's in there, it's much simpler. It has helped them. It has worked against the opponents that they have faced this year, but against the Lions, it would be bad news if Malik Willis were the quarterback. I mean, I guess you never really know, like say it's a mid-game replacement for some reason. Defense might not be ready for it, and you could see it still working out depending on where they are in the game. But Jordan Love, especially now, because he's really played these last 3 weeks after the bye, three of the four best games he's played this season. He has been really, really good. He has not turned the ball over the last 2 weeks. He is reactivated as the Jordan Love we saw at the end of the last season. So you would hate for something to take that momentum away right now. This is a really good, it's humming along pretty well for Green Bay.
Yeah, it's nice to see. It really is. The Badgers, though, did not go quite so well.
No, the Badger football team. Well, it hasn't gone well for the Badger basketball team either. They happened to lose their first game of the year to Michigan. Marquette basketball lost last night. It's been rough. Bucks lost last night. 7-game winning streak over. But Badger football, they had their signing day yesterday. So all the recruits that are coming in for the next season, it's a pretty warmly regarded class, probably top 25 in the country. And that's the second year in a row that Luke Fickell has gotten a pretty good recruiting class, and they're going to need it because the team that they have had the last 2 years has been so underwhelming. We knew it was going to be tough with the schedule this year, but the Badgers losing out to teams that they should be, you know, like or theoretically are kind of fighting for the same terrain with, you know, the Iowas, the Nebraskas, the Minnesotas. Those are teams that the Badgers have thought of as, you know, they've seen themselves as better than those programs. And now that's not necessarily the case. Missing a bowl for the first time since 2001, really, really tough.
Yeah.
So,
a lot of concern right now.
And they've changed offensive coordinators. I'm sure there'll be more changes. A lot of kids leaving in the transfer portal have already announced that they're leaving. Several more will be coming in. It's going to be a lot of changes again. And we'll see if the alchemy comes together, if that first recruiting class of Luke Fickell starts to make a contribution, because they are going to need it. The recruiting promises some nice things in the future, but the schedule does not get easier next year, and it's going to be it's going to be tough here for the next year for this program to soldier through.
If you're just joining us, J.R. Radcliffe is here. He joins us every other Thursday to talk all things sports. You can read all of his wonderful stuff in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. A big basketball game Saturday night between the Badgers and Marquette.
Yeah, like I said, they both just took their first loss of the year. Marquette last night to Iowa State. That was a battle of top 10 teams. Wisconsin had gotten, you know, way up there in the rankings, gotten to number 11, Marquette into single digits. Pretty impressive stuff for them to go undefeated. The Badgers, it's a huge shock. No one thought they'd be here. John Tanjay has turned into one of the best transfers in the nation. So that's been really, really beneficial. Shooting the lights out. Badgers kind of got out-muscled a little bit against Michigan a couple nights ago. Marquette, meanwhile, they've got a couple injuries now with Chase Ross leaving this game last night. That's a pretty big loss for them. Their star player is a guy named Cam Jones, who probably could have gone pro last year, probably could have declared for the NBA, did not, came back and has been playing at an All-American level. Right now, he's on track to be a first-team All-American. He's playing incredibly well. This team plays very fast, very hard for Shaka Smart. They are easily, for sure, the favorite Marquette would be in the battle with Wisconsin. at Pfizer Forum. It's always exciting when these two teams tangle. Often the matchup does not foretell which team gets to, is better over the course of the year. It's one of those, the old throw out the record book sort of thing. And they have, no love lost between the fan bases for sure.
No doubt.
This is a good, again, a litmus test. We're really early in the basketball season, but it's always fun. Some Badgers fans will tell you it's one of the most important parts of the year. Beat Marquette. Just beat Marquette.
And we just do that.
Everything else that follows.
Do that so. One thing for me.
Yeah.
And all that you also mentioned to us beforehand that Marquette and Wisconsin's women volleyball begins tonight, the NCAA tournament.
That's right.
And the volleyball is something to talk about.
It is, yes. And both teams should probably, well, I don't know about Marquette as a should, but like both teams easily could make it to the Sweet 16, which would be great. Wisconsin, this is not the same level of powerhouse we've seen in past years. Wisconsin's still a top 10 team. Got a really exciting freshman setter who was second team all conference, and there's still tons of promise going forward. But Wisconsin in the past has been a one seed the last several years, made a bunch of Final Fours in a row. That's a really tall order this year. They have Nebraska in their regional. They would have to beat Nebraska to even get to the Final Four. Nebraska's unbelievable. They've beaten Wisconsin twice pretty handily. So it would take something that we didn't see in the head-to-head matchups for Wisconsin to break through this year. But they're still very, very good. It's a lot of fun if you, I know a lot of people kind of catch the volleyball this time of year when the NCAA tournament kicks in. It is it's so fun to watch, especially when you've got high-level programs like you do with Wisconsin. And Marquette, too. Marquette's like kind of the second-best program in the Big East. They do a really nice job. They've got Aubrey Hamilton is one of their best players. She went to Arrowhead High School, so she's been around for several years, and they're very good. It'll be an upset if they get too deep into the tournament, but it is still it's plausible.
Well, and it's just made me so happy the last couple of years to see the turnout that these women have had for their matches. It was fantastic.
Yeah,
it really has caught on in a different way. And Wisconsin has a national championship in their recent past. Tons of Kelly Sheffield, one of the most respected coaches in the nation at this point. So this is it has been a really fun ride. This might be, down year is so strong for a team as good as Wisconsin. This might be a little bit of a lull, and we'll see if they can get back to the top seed Final Four caliber next year.
The time we've got left, as you mentioned, the Bucks lost last night.
Yes, the end of their 7-game winning streak, but it's okay. The Bucks were allowed an off night. It was the second game of a back-to-back. They went 4-0 in their NBA Cup thing. Which
every time someone says that, I'm like, what are these seventh graders?
Yeah, it still requires a little bit of explanation, nuance, and all that. But they'll be playing again Tuesday in the, I guess, what we can consider the Elite Eight level of this NBA Cup thing. Congratulations.
I like Cup thing. I think that should be official.
We should call it the Goblet of Fire.
That's awesome.
I mean, they should. They it's now this year the Emirates Cup or something. It's fun, kind of. It's something to at least talk about early in the season. Chris Middleton is coming back, though. The Bucks are on their way to Boston. They're going to play the Celtics, one of the best teams in the NBA. And Chris Middleton, finally, for the first time this year, is cleared to play. He's going to be making his debut, which is such a huge boost to the Bucks. His ankles, offseason surgery kept him out earlier this year. Everybody was kind of waiting with bated breath. When is Chris Middleton coming back? He's finally going to be there. That's going to be huge for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Calvin, you had a question?
Yeah, so far this season, Giannis is actually one of, if not the most efficient player from the mid-range. Do you think this is just a flash in the pan or a sign of what he's worked on in the offseason?
I mean, he works on this all the time. He always is working on any depth of shooting, mid-range, three-point shooting. Although we've seen that decrease, he's kind of reining it in a little bit more this year. I think that's maybe where he's focused more on that mid-range. Scoring more than he ever has before. I mean, I think he averaged 30 points last year, 33 points this year, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, he really is finding new levels. He's going to turn 30 years old tomorrow. This is our last day to enjoy Giannis Antetokounmpo in his 20s, 13 years.
Okay, cool.
Finally turning 30 and playing at an MVP level. So he's still one of the greats. And yes, this mid-range thing, I don't know if it's sustainable, but it's working out pretty well right now.
Follow him in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, J.R. Radcliffe. We'll see you in a couple weeks. Thank you so much.
Sounds good, you guys. I'll see you again soon.
This Shouldn't Be a Thing is on the way. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
That theory's backed up by empirical evidence. We're gonna grind up your guys into burger meat. Again, of course.
speaking in the...
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Central heat, you know, the HVAC systems that heat your entire house. Man, those can really cost us an arm and a leg. And they lose up to 30% of their energy through the ductwork, plus more when we're heating rooms that we aren't even using. One trick that can bring down your heating bill is to lower your thermostat and use energy-efficient space heaters where you really need the heat. I'm a little retro, and I like radiant heaters. Those are heaters that just heat a specific area in a room. On average, running a 1,500-watt space heater is going to cost you about 20 cents an hour. While running your central electric furnace, that's going to run you $1.37 an hour. So space heaters can mean real savings. However, if you use a space heater, make sure you follow the directions for their safe use. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. The next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. And if you haven't downloaded the Civic Media app just yet, do that. It's absolutely free wherever you get your apps. Absolutely free, Greg Bach.
Finally on board with that pun.
I like it. And next week, you could win wonderful and fabulous prizes, provided you have the Civic Media app.
And provided you don't work for Civic Media.
That's part of the rules, too. So download the Civic Media app. If you have it, you can call and text directly to whatever show you're listening to all across the network. It's pretty cool. So download the Civic Media app today. Coming up on the show tomorrow, very much looking forward to this. We haven't talked to John Dietrich from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel for a while. He's done a great series about guns in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And his latest just published today, and it's about the tragedy of adults who leave out their guns and then their children get a hold of them.
Yeah.
So we're going to be talking to John Dietrich about his latest in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It's Friday. That means Dan Schaefer will be here from the recombobulation area. So I hope you can join us for our Friday edition. Right now, Calvin, it's 11:53. That means it is time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says at civicmedia.us, JaneSays at civicmedia.us. Today's Tisbet, courtesy of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Hannah Kirby. Headline reads, "Want to smell like a dive bar? Miller High Life can make it happen with its new holiday scent."
What are they calling it?
Dive bar fume. Dive bar fume for a limited time from Miller High Life.
That sounds like a medical term that happens when you drink too much at a bar. Like, Oh, he's suffering from dive bar fume. Yeah.
For a limited time, a premium unisex fragrance that captures the dive bar scents you know and loathe.
Ladies.
From the satisfying crack of a freshly opened beer to the comforting, savory taste of classic bar snacks, according to the release from Miller High Life, the Dive Bar Fume, a unisex fragrance. Craig is dying.
I smell like Chex Mix.
Well, when I think of dive bars, I think of stale beer.
Yeah.
The smell of stale beer.
Yeah.
And some other equally tantalizing scents.
Yeah.
If you get my drift. If anybody remembers the National Liquor Bar, it was on like 25th and National Avenue in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
That was the epitome. Of a
epitome.
Dive. Epitome. It's epitome.
Okay.
Of a dive bar.
Hey, say how you want.
But that was where the third shifters would go and have their breakfast beers. And
their breakfast burritos?
Nice. So to me, that is reminiscent of a true dive bar, but maybe not. The article says smells are known to trigger memories.
Oh, boy.
That's part of the appeal of this transportive blend. It will remind the wearer and those around them of times posted at their dimly lit neighborhood watering hole with good company, cheap beer, salty snacks, and pool. According to the release, the fragrance features notes of champaca blossom to pay homage to the crisp, refreshing aroma of the champagne of beers being cracked open. Also tobacco and leather to give that musk of worn-in bar stools. Sea salt, like the basket of fries you look forward to at the end of the night. And cedarwood and patchouli.
That's too many.
For the smell of the bar tops. That's a stretch.
The patchouli that smells like the hippie who just got fired from his fourth job this month.
Yeah.
Here's the thing is, I will say this. Full disclosure.
Yes.
I am a fan of High Life beer.
I like a Miller High Life,
it's
too.
My beer of choice. I love the Molson Coors Corporation. My friend works for them. I guarantee you, this will sell out immediately.
Oh, I bet you're right.
But I will say this. Don't you think that's a lot of competing fragrances?
There's a lot going on in that dive bar.
Like,
there's a lot of activity in there.
I was over 21 when you could still smoke in bars, and I remember distinctly going to a specific one in Milwaukee, will not be named right now, and taking my clothes and putting them in the closet
because
they just smelled like all of those aromas.
Limited quantities of Dive Bar Fume, which cost at $60. It drops at 11 a.m. yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Hold on.
You do have to be at least 21 years old.
Why?
I don't know. We'll put it in the show notes after the show. That wraps up today's edition of...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
We have news coming up next, followed by Todd Alba from 2 to 4... From noon to 2. Maggie Dawn, 2 to 4. I see that works now.
Oh, wait.
Dom Salvia from 4 to 6. Pete Schwabba from 6 until 8 p.m. with Nightlight. Great article about Pete Schwabba in the Cap Times, by the way, and he's going to join us on Monday.
Correct.
So I hope you can join us for that. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you guys, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and texting and listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a little bit. And you have the chance to share it. Stay here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Pat Kreitlow. On Friday, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel on how Donald Trump's picks for top law enforcement posts can damage our independent judiciary.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
The excitement.
Oh, he stones Brodzinski with a glove save.
The energy.
What's he going to do? He shoots and he scores.
The tradition.
You've got to understand history if you're ever going to write your own.
It's everything.
He scores. Badgers answer right back.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more?